Blog Talk Radio.
Author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, my darling Nicole. How are you tonight?
Hello. How are you, Cindy?
I'm doing really good. We've been in rehearsals for the play. Angels, my sister. It's going to be in the Hudson Guild Theater on July 30th, 31st, and August 3rd, and we have the best cast. Oh, my God. They are just wonderful. It is like a love fest. We have so much fun, and they're all so talented. So it's really been, it's really so far a great experience. And I hope you come see it, Nicole,
Of course, I will.
What it's all about.
Yes, please.
So let me see what's going on with your beautiful wife. Because people ask how she's doing, and you haven't mentioned her too much lately, so let's hear about her a bit.
Well, she's doing well. She's still plugging away with the band right now. They're, working on getting, some remastering of some of their songs from their old album so that they can do sort of like a demo situation over in Europe. So that's cool. She's on hiatus from her show with FBI, the show FBI that she was working on. So, she's back to kickboxing and kicking ass, just part-time while she's waiting for the show to pick back up. And that's it. She's enjoying, having a little bit less of a hustle and a bustle lifestyle and having a little bit more time at home, which is nice. And I get to see her a little bit more, which is really nice for me. So.
And the show got renewed? The show got renewed?
The show did get picked up for a second season. And, and she's going back for season two, probably mid-June.
Okay. And what is it that she does? Because people ask me about that. I go, I don't really know.
Oh, well, she works with the union, and she is a set dresser. So all of those lovely apartment scenes and outdoor scenes where they look just so, she, makes garbage, for the not so nice scenes and things like that. But yeah, all of those things in TV and film, they're all strategically placed there, sometimes when you see somebody in an apartment building or an apartment rather, it's not necessarily somebody's decor and it's not necessarily a set. Sometimes they just borrow the apartment for the day and then they dress it so it doesn't look like the people that live there's place. And then they put it all back together again. And that's kind of what she does. She goes in there and she takes people's stuff apart and then they shoot and then she puts all their stuff back together again.
Wow. That sounds like a hard job. Wow.
It is. It's very, very physical. I've actually done it with her a couple of times,
where
they really needed people. Yeah. And I used a couple of my vacation days last year to go to work with her. It was Go to Work with Your Wife Day. And I went on set and, we moved stuff around and it was totally cool. And, I got to go to the wrap party at the end of the year and you know about that. And it was definitely a grueling work. And I give her a lot of credit because it is very physical work. Some days, it's not. Some days a lot of them just kind of, takes four of them to screw in a light bulb. And then other days, they're lifting, 50 to 100 pound boxes and, moving them from one place to another and unpacking and repacking. And, some days it's really, really grueling. So, yeah.
Wow. I know. It's always hard work, to do these things. Well, I'm so glad to hear that she's doing well. And finally we had some sun today, so we should be grateful for that, aren't we?
Yes, I actually took a half a day today. So, because my vacation days re-up on Monday. And, you know, if in my company they don't pay you out for the days that you don't use. So if you don't use them, you lose them. That's it. So I still had a couple days left. So I took half a day today and I took tomorrow off so that I could spend a little bit of extra time with my wife. So that'll be nice.
Oh, good. And so you had a good time.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, I got
love
home
that.
You know, halfway through the afternoon and we took a nice walk together and we sat on the balcony and we read for a little while, you know, and yeah, it was really, really a nice afternoon.
Wow, I know. I had a nice walk with TJ today, too. It was really a great day for that. And, you know, thank goodness.
Yeah.
It felt good to have some sun. Well, we do have some callers tonight that have pressed one. You might want to remind people what to do if they want to talk to us.
Yes, if you wish to talk to Cindy or myself, please press the number one so that I know that I need to pull you out of queue and screen you and get you on the air to talk to Cindy. So, yeah, and we do have a couple of people that press number one here. Not everybody pressed number one, even though we have a lot of listeners, but who knows? Maybe our first caller will inspire people to press that number one and get on the air tonight. So you want to start off with the first call, Cindy?
Oh, sure. Go ahead. You know,
awesome.
You'll just
awesome. Well, we are going out. Yeah, we have the one person that pressed number one right now. We've got a bunch of other people in the queue that haven't pressed anything yet. So we are going to go over to the number 0002, or your last four digits, so that you know that we are addressing you when we say those wonderful magic words of, hello, you are on the air.
Hi there. How are you?
Good. And who is this?
This is Susie calling with an update.
Oh, good. Tell us about the update. We love the updates. This is like the continuing saga here. We love it.
So I just wanted to know if you sensed anything. Before I give you the update, I just want to know if there's anything that you sense is going on.
No, not off the top of my head. Nope.
Okay.
Nothing right now.
Okay. Okay, so what happened is the gentleman that I called in about when I called the last time, the first time I called, I was calling about an attraction to a specific man.
Right.
And I found out, well, I didn't find out. I knew at some point because we have kids the same age and because we live in the same community, I knew that we would run into each other somewhere socially. We would just end up seeing each other. And we did. A couple of weeks ago, and he was with his girlfriend. So he introduced me to her, and she's absolutely lovely. And he introduced me as, Susie, here's someone I really would like you to meet who's important in my life. And he is very much in love, and they're very much a twosome, and I could totally be her friend. Like, she's really, really awesome. So I'm very happy for him, and that I see that as a universe just telling me, okay, enough. There may be an attraction, but he's not going to follow through on anything. He's very happy. And so that sort of ended that chapter. I know
right.
that chapter is the right word, but that
right.
sort
That's
of ended good. That, that what's the word? But my pursuit, not my pursuit. I wasn't pursuing, but it sort of ended my wanting what I can't have.
Right.
So,
and also
that was that.
Got to back down. I mean, he's got someone else. We've got to back down.
He's got someone
bit.
Else, and they are very happy. And she's very kind, and she's very sweet, and they are very cute together. So.
Oh, but you see how kind you are, and how you realize, you know, I should back down and, you know, let them do their thing. Okay.
Yeah.
Very.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I have to. I'm not going to. I have no right to interfere in someone else's life, but I think it was an important for me to bump into him like that, for me to meet her so that I can have, I don't want to call it closure because he and I are still friends, but to have closure on that idea that something's going to happen. I have closure on that now. So
right. and,
that's
and,
a good thing
And that's
for me.
Exactly what happened. The universe didn't want you, like you're getting concerned with people building like a fantasy in their head or something
right.
that maybe isn't meshing with reality. Okay, so
right,
your spirit
right.
guides let you run into him so you could see this is the story, and this way you'll be ready to move on, and they could bring you another soulmate in alignment with you. So
exactly.
it's good. It's
exactly.
excellent that you saw it. A lot of times people don't like when they see things, and I go, no, the universe is just trying to get you to say, okay, this is the way it is, and I need to move on. And
exactly. Exactly, and that's what it did. That's what the universe did, and I have to say I'm thankful for it because I'm no longer saying, oh, I wish, and oh, what if, and, you know, hope, hope, hope. No, it's done. That's it. I mean, I'm still friendly with him, and I'll still see him around, and I'm happy to see him, but that's it. That's the end of my thoughts on it. So I'm very happy to have been led to that reality. And I was asking about if you sensed anything because I did something that you recommended that I do, which is that I go out of my comfort zone.
Yes.
Do something outside of my comfort zone to meet someone, and I did that, and I had a really great first date last night.
Yes. And, okay, tell us, okay, because we have a lot of listeners that don't believe they should get out of their comfort zone. So how did you go out of your comfort zone? This is so interesting. What did you do to get out of your comfort zone?
Well, it's called a comfort zone for a reason. I was absolutely terrified with what I did. I mean, while I was making this phone call, which I'll tell you about in a moment, I was shaking. My whole body was shaking because I'm so uncomfortable out of my comfort zone that I was just like, okay, I meditated on it and I breathed through it. And I just like, was like, you're just going to do this. What happened was about a month ago, I was I met up with a friend, a female friend, a girlfriend who introduced me to a friend of hers, who's a man. And when she introduced me to him, he and I immediately hit it off. We immediately hit it off. There was friendship chemistry. There was, humor chemistry, like all of it. It was great. And a week later, she said, we're all going to get together again so you can meet him again. I said, great. Unfortunately, her life got really crazy, and she disappeared. She just stopped responding to my text. And I was going crazy because, I knew that there was some kind of attraction. And there was no other way for me to reach him. And I was waiting and waiting and waiting for her to organize it, and it wasn't happening. So then I remembered that his profession is very specific, and that he and I have a common friend. And so I reached out to the common friend just 2 days ago and said, hey, look, my girlfriend was supposed to fix this up. It didn't go through. Can you help me out? Within an hour, the gentleman that I had met through her contacted me.
Wow.
So we went out last night, Now, when I tell you that I was shaking, when I was even just giving the information to the common friend that he and I have.
Right.
I was shaking when I was talking to him because I was so uncomfortable doing it. But I said, here's my number. I'm not going to ask him out. I'm not comfortable doing that. But here's my phone number. If he reaches out to me, he will get a positive response. And he did. He reached out to me, and we ended up going out last night.
Wow. And notice how, let's talk about in a soulmate world. Notice that you had to kind of close the chapter on the first
yes.
man. And the universe
yes.
helped you do that by letting
yes.
you see the story. And by your saying, I'm happy he's happy. Okay. And that's
yes.
how you should feel about with a soulmate. All of a sudden, you're able to be brought the one that they wanted to bring you. But
right.
couldn't bring it until that chapter was closed. And again,
yes.
you had to go out of your comfort zone. It wouldn't have happened if you just started crying about this guy. He's got somebody else, blah, 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 blah. And you stay in your room crying for like a year and a half. No, you had to like get yourself together. Now, are you proud of yourself for mustering up courage?
Oh, I'm totally proud of myself. It's been a long time since I have gone on a date. It has been a long time since I have been in a relationship. I am rusty. I am so rusty at every part of it, at the flirting, at the talking, at the communication, at the trust. Everything about it is rusty. I'm old at it. I forgot how to do it. So I am refiguring it out. But it was, you make an important point. It was really important for me to let the other guy go, because I'm not gonna lie. I was upset when I found out about her, but she was so lovely and so friendly and so kind that I was like, I can't get angry at her. I can't be anything at her. They are together. And so I was brooding, is that the word, that night. And then the next day I was like, okay, this is done. But he was definitely blocking me, that hoping, that wishing, that, and, you know, help me, help me, help me thing was blocking me from meeting another person. I know that. So it's closure. I moved on, and that enabled me to make this next move. So,
wow.
Yeah.
And
thank you
so
much for
encouraging
that.
And that's the whole point. You just confirm what I've been saying. God can't airdrop your soulmate into your bedroom, okay? Like, you got to get out there and do something. You got to make a phone call. Get out there. And when you do it, like, wow. And I don't like to draw too many cards on a new relationship because, you know, it's like so new. But he looks like a really nice guy here, okay? He looks like a really nice guy. And he seemed to really like you. Don't worry too much. As a dating expert, I would tell you, don't worry too much about doing it right. You know, what am I doing? You know, soulmates oftentimes will talk about topics that, you know, most dating experts would say, don't talk about that on the first or second date. But sometimes it just comes up, heavy stuff or interesting stuff. Just be you, okay? Just be yourself.
Yeah.
And remember, it's not an execution when you go on a date. It's fun. And he's just as nervous as you are, too. And he seems like he has a very good sense of humor. Did you get that from him?
Yes, he does. And it's funny because sense of humor is not about him making jokes. It's just he says things that I giggle at. He says things that I click with and that I just think are amusing. It's a chemistry. It's just part of the chemistry. So, yeah, he does make me giggle. I was giggling all night from him. Yeah, it was a really good date.
Good. And that should make you feel happy. And did he, like, contact you since the date or text you or anything?
Oh, yes. Yeah, actually, good. When we went out, excuse me, to dinner, and I didn't eat the whole thing. And I always bring leftovers home with me because I don't like wasting food. So I brought the leftovers. And, oh, he picked me up. It was a real date.
Oh, like
he
a
offered,
real date.
Would you like to meet at the restaurant or shall I pick you up? And I took him up on picking me up. So he picked me up. So when he drove me home, I accidentally left the food in the back of his car, and I let him know that. He brought it to me this morning at 8 a.m. Delivered it to me this morning on 8 a.m. first thing. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Doesn't that sound like a keeper? Doesn't that sound like someone who, you know, he took the time to do that for you and to be thoughtful? He's showing he's responsible. You know, that's so wonderful, and I'm so happy for you because, you know, he's doing all the right stuff. I mean, you know, this kind of thing where you have a date and they don't call you for a month, you know, like that doesn't sit right with me, okay? Like, So it looks very good here for you, and, you know, you just taught our listeners something very important, that if you're attracted to somebody, you know, if you feel a connection, go after it and, you know, follow the leads. And, you know, there's more than one soulmate. And if it didn't work out for some reason with one soulmate, go out and find the other one. And, you know, that's so important. And, you know, it looks to me like he's going to ask you out soon. Did he already ask you out for another date?
He has not. We talked about it, though. I believe we are going out again. But I mentioned to him something that went on today that was really fun, something that I attended today that was really fun. And I said, I'd love to tell you about it. And he said, can't wait. So I assume that means.
Wow. Excellent. You see, I'm so happy for you. Really. I mean, this is like amazing. Nicole, do you have anything to add to this happy, like, you know, occurrence here? Because, you know, she's also a proponent of. I mean, does it seem like she's done everything right? Seems like it to me.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that, you know, we tell people all the time that you can't keep doing the same thing and getting the same results. And I love the fact that she pushed herself so far to the point of that she was uncomfortable, you know, because sometimes that's what it takes. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, you can't always be comfortable 100% of the time. And I get it. You know, I mean, if you think about, you know, historically, we're living in a time where we have more than we've ever had. We're richer than we've ever been, you know, and with that comes, even though things are getting so much better and historically we are living our best at the best time right now, it also means that we've got a lot more to lose. You know, because we have so much. And I think that pushing yourself beyond that and getting to that space where you can kind of regain ground on you know, in a new space is great. And I think that it's wonderful. And I think that everybody should take notice and, you know, and follow suit.
Me too. That's how I feel. So, you know, you'll keep us posted with this. This is like very exciting.
Oh, please.
I mean, I love hearing this. I just love hearing
it. I just wanted to express gratitude for a moment because I wouldn't have had the courage to go out of my comfort zone if you had not encouraged me and coached me to do that. So thank you very much for helping me and supporting me to get out of my comfort zone to get into the next part.
And once you've done this, you'll keep doing it, whether it's about work, get out of your comfort zone.
Right.
If people are not happy with their jobs, get out of your comfort zone. Go put out some resumes, you know, go out on interviews. You know, we can't always stay in this and on the sidewalk because that's living a half life. And most people live a half life. And why we love movies so much is because we watch them because people have courage in those movies and they have courage to go after what they want. And so, you know, we don't want to just live vicariously through people with courage. We want to, you know, muster up our own courage. And, you know, for the most part.
Well, it's not even just the courage aspect. You know, people in movies, they have hope.
Right.
You know, nothing
is
hopeless. They have hope, you know, and we need more of that. We need hope these days, you know. I mean, sometimes, you know, people get so many bad relationships and they're so convinced that, you know, the next one is just going to be just like the last one. And, you know, it's that they lose that hope, you know, because they're expecting more of the same, you know, and it's good to, again, go outside of that and to rediscover hope and to create hope where there might be none.
Right.
Exactly. Amen.
And not get jaded. And again, we love it. And if you, you know, call in again and let us know what happens. But, you know, let's give, you know, we don't have that many people pressing one yet. So if you want to talk to us, press one. So we can use this as an opportunity to give some dating tips. You know, the best thing about dating is to just be yourself. The other person's also nervous. You know, just, you know, you can even express I'm a little bit nervous here. Have fun. Be easygoing. I mean, like, you know, some people that go to date, they're such a pain in the ass. Who wants to ever see them again? You know, I mean, like, if things don't, you go to a restaurant, the food isn't great, or whatever, you can laugh about it. You can make a light of it. You know, don't be like, oh, my God, this is awful. You know, like, make light of some things. You know, enjoy yourself. You know, talk about yourself. Let him talk about himself and get to know each other. But it's really something that you can learn to enjoy. And when you are with a person who's a soulmate, by the way, a date doesn't feel like a date. It just feels like coming home. It feels like, wow, I'm comfortable. Did you feel comfortable near him?
I really did. I felt, well, comfort in combination with, like, I don't know what you want to call it, a little bit energized?
I love that.
Like comfortable, but also like, I don't want to say it tingly, but like definitely a little sparkle maybe going on inside my body, you know, just like easygoing, but with that little bit of, you know, feeling up energy and a little bit of energy.
Good. And that's how you should feel. It should feel like a little buzz and happy and, he felt the same way. And, you know, of course, learning to, like, enjoy it and look for what's going to be happening next and, you know, where this is going to be going. And, you know, just enjoy. You know, that's the most important thing. We have to learn to enjoy, you know, the process
the
of
moment.
Getting to know someone and not worry so much. Get outside of ourselves, you know. You know, all of us get uncomfortable about things. All of us get nervous, but, you know, this is so wonderful. And, you know, you're just describing something that, you know, I hope will give our other listeners courage. I mean, I'm not saying to do stupid things like, you know, calling somebody when you're drunk. You know, like that's how a lot of my clients, well, I called him when I was drunk. Oh, that's a good thing. No, you're stupid, you know. That's not courage. It's moronic. Do you know what I mean? So don't do things like that. I'm drinking and now I'm going to call the guy I've been meaning to talk to. Nope, don't do that. I mean, to get out of your comfort zone sober, okay, and not stoned, okay, because it's just, you know, could you imagine, like, you know, calling somebody when you're drunk and thinking that's going to go over big, you know.
I've done that before, and it's never come out well.
I was hoping you might join in on that one and tell me, have you ever done that? Actually,
yes,
called
I've
someone
done that,
when you're
and it's never, ever ended well.
Nope.
Never.
And
it ended temporarily well. Yeah, I've got a couple of booty calls out of that, but that's about it.
Well, I mean, if that's what you're looking for, but if you're looking for a relationship, don't call somebody when you're drunk, okay?
Right.
Not a good idea.
Not a good idea
at all.
Then stay in your comfort zone.
I'm so sorry, I do have to go.
Okay, well, thank you for calling in, and we're going to try to take another caller.
Good night. Bye. Have a good night.
Bye. Well, that was very interesting, wasn't it?
That's great.
Right, that was great. I mean, it was like, wow, you see, someone listened to us. Great. And I love when, you know, people have been reading for years and years and they never listened to me and they're screaming at me because their life never changes. Well, you never listened to anything that's said to you. So how's it going to change?
I agree. Exactly.
You have to listen. So we do have someone else pressed one. And you know what? We don't have as many callers as usual. I just put it on the Facebook page, which I needed to do.
You know why
two,
we don't have as many calls? I'll tell you why. Because it's a beautiful day. And people are outside going, yeah, I'll listen to it later on in the archives. That's what's happening.
And also,
right,
it's because I didn't send out my constant contact last night because I was in rehearsals. And because I was in rehearsals, I forgot about it, which I never do.
So it's your fault.
It is my fault. I will take complete responsibility that this is my fault. Okay?
All righty then.
I screwed up on that one. Okay? And
it's
what
okay.
can I tell you?
You're entitled. You can do that every now and then.
Okay, but I won't do it again, okay?
Okay, you got it.
Well, we do have someone that's been trying to call us.
Yes,
so let's
we have
see.
Two
you
people.
Wanna, we haven't screened them either, and they both pressed at the same time, so you could pick whichever one you want.
So I am going to go to the one that's been holding longer, or rather that pressed one first, and then I'm going to duck out of the call, then I'm going to go into the chat room for the second person that pressed one and wants to speak to us. So for the first one, your last four digits are 2621, so this way you know that we are speaking to you. When I say those lovely words, hello, you are on the air.
Hi.
Hi. Well, that was kind of a shy hi. Who is this and where are you calling?
Very shy hi.
Hi. Yeah. I'm a little
it's
nervous.
Okay. It's okay. We don't mind a little nervous because we're always a little nervous too, okay? So you're calling from where? 315 is, I don't know.
From New Mexico, but it's a cell phone and it's from upstate New York.
Oh, okay. So we should know the 315 is from upstate New York, but you're all the way from New Mexico right now. Okay,
I moved there.
Okay, so what's your first name?
Dawn.
Okay, Dawn. Okay, so you're calling in, and let us know what made you call into our show tonight of all the shows in all the world.
Yeah. Well, I listened to the Astrology Hub podcast.
Oh, did you listen to it?
That's the first time I heard of you. I did.
Wow.
I loved it.
And wow,
I got your book today.
And you got my book, The Grant Me Higher Love?
I did.
Oh, you've just made my entire day, okay? yes. And that was
it was perfect timing for me, so.
Wow, and I just posted that on my Facebook because I did that a few weeks ago from the wonderful woman, and Robin, she's in Hawaii. So I did that podcast mm-hmm. with her, and they posted it today. So we talked about all kinds of things about soulmates and love on that. And so you said it was perfect timing. Is there a reason why it was perfect timing? It's synchronicity, mm-hmm. we would say, but tell us about the synchronicity.
I'm why here to important. Be with a soulmate, I thought. I don't know what's happening, and it's just very confusing. I don't know if
okay,
I'm staying
so you don't know
or
if you're...
we're staying together.
Okay, now, okay, let's talk about what a soulmate is, because we have, you know, this is a good opportunity because we haven't talked about this
okay.
so much lately. Did you, when you met this person, did you feel a heart connection?
Oh, yeah.
And a soul, like, you know, he brought out the best in you in the beginning.
Yeah.
And made you want to, like, listen to love songs and understand stuff about love you never thought you could understand. Did you have that mind connection,
yes.
like you love talking to him? And how about a body? Do you guys have a strong chemistry?
Incredible.
Okay, that's
yeah.
the word I need, incredible, because soulmates are supposed to have this incredible over-the-charts chemistry. Don't poo-poo that away, because soulmates are supposed
mm-hmm.
to keep each other from the temptations of the world, okay? And
okay.
if they don't have that chemistry, then someone's going to cheat, because, you know, that's the way it is. But soulmates only want to be with each other. Now, 45%
mm-hmm.
of people are offered a soulmate, 1% maintain it. It's kind of hard to maintain.
Mm-hmm.
If soulmate love says,
yeah.
let's heal our issues. So the first 3 to 6 months, love is so strong, sometimes it overcomes fear. Then there's a
mm-hmm.
point where the fear kicks in. How long have you been with this person?
Well, we met in 1985.
Wow.
We were 16. Yeah.
Okay, so let's see how many years. 25. Okay, so that's how many years from 85, 95, 2005?
A lot. 30?
Okay, you're almost 35 years.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, because relationships
mm-hmm.
tend to work in a 5-year cycle. So, okay, so
mm-hmm.
Now you were brought when soulmates can be brought together, and that's another marker that this is a soulmate, because soulmates are brought decades beforehand at the only moment mm-hmm. when you probably could have been brought into alignment with each other. But it's usually
okay.
not necessarily when you're going to be together. They're brought back oftentimes. So were you with
okay.
this person back in 1985, or was it just friendship?
We loved each other. But it was summer camp, so we just spent a week together.
And this is what we call Carol's time.
New York.
When you
call
read Grant Me a Higher Love, there's two kinds of time.
Mm-hmm.
There's Chronos time, which is Cindy shows at 7 o'clock and I have to call in. And there's Kairos time,
mm-hmm.
which is what Greeks called the eternal moments, the soul moments, where it doesn't matter. It was only a week, okay? It doesn't matter. It's
right.
like
right.
It's stayed in your heart all these years. So we have the Kairos time, which has to be part of soulmate. So we have this long time meeting ago, that heart, soul, mind, body.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you lived in New York, and where did he live?
We have always been states apart. In college, I visited him twice, just for a week at a time, and they were amazing, and we talked on the phone all night long, all the time. And then we just went our separate ways. And he got married, and then I got married, but we talked occasionally, but it broke my heart every time. And then in 2014, we reconnected through Facebook. We both ended up getting divorced and kind of healed together. And then he has a job and a house and everything here, so I had to move here. And it's good, but it's not. He's always pulling away. And he's just, you know, he went from saying that I was the love of his life to I don't know if it feels permanent to me.
Okay, so how long has this been now exactly? Like, you know, since you connected? Since you connected back
okay.
to him, like?
Probably 2000, like Emotionally and mentally, I want to say 2014, but physically and everything, 2016.
Physically, 2016 since you've been in the...
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you know, it looks to me like he's getting scared. And even though he was married, I would say he was a committed commitment phobic. It looks to me like he married someone he never loved all that much. Okay, and, you know, now he might have been able to marry her because people marry lower levels of love all the time. It's, you know, you come home with your heart, soul, mind, your body is elsewhere. He has some issues surfacing in him right now. And he's kind of thinking he was fine till you came into his life. And now, you know, and that wasn't true. He had a Band-Aid and a carcinoma, okay? And now that carcinoma is coming forward. There's a father figure that died that knows him that's trying to come through. Do you know who that would be to him?
No. His dad had a series of strokes, but he's still alive. But
Okay. And I think this is his dad's dad because it's on his father's side.
Oh.
And, I mean, he's also worried. And his dad's dad is saying he's worrying about his dad a lot, you know, like what could happen. And people's fear of loving someone who could die on them kicks in, and, you know, his dad's had strokes, and there's, you know, that's kicking that in. All I'm seeing here is a lot of fear. Now, when he said, I don't think this is permanent, what does he want you to do with that piece of information?
I have no idea.
Okay.
He couldn't clarify it any better for me. It just, I don't know. I mean, we were engaged, but we haven't gotten married. And I was like, well, would you feel better if we were married? And his answer was no. So I don't know.
So at this point, he's trying to push you away. He's scared. He's scared to take it to the next level. It doesn't look like anything happened, per se, to make this occur, okay? It's things that are happening inside of him. It's not really between the two of you. It's his own fears and his own issues surfacing. And are you actually living with him at this point?
I am, yeah.
Okay. Now, what do you want to do about the situation? Do you want to stay? Do you want to go? You know, I'm sure you don't want to leave him, but, you know, so you said it's not permanent, so what does he want you to do with that piece of information? Did you ask him what's your intention in telling me this, and what do you want me to do with that piece of information?
Yes, and I don't really get an answer. It's just I'm just telling you how I feel. And it's like he'll be distant, and then he'll act like everything's fine and loving, and so... I have a son, and we had to go to court to fight to be able to move here. And in the summertime, I have to take him back to see his dad. And so we're planning on leaving in 2 weeks, and I was going to fly. And he told me very casually that I should drive just in case I didn't want to come back. And I did bad things. I snooped on his phone, and he told his stepmom he was sorry he hadn't called her, but he was going through this breakup. And so then I got really upset and told him that I felt like he was withholding stuff from me and not telling me the truth about stuff. And he said the same kind of stuff again. And... but since then, he's acting all loving, and I don't know.
Right. I mean, he looks like he's scared of taking it to the next level at this point, and he's sabotaging it. I mean, you know, first of all, you have do you want to drive all the way back?
No.
Okay. I mean, you do have a time out here coming. It has to be for your son to go back to New York. So take the time out and, because it looks like that's something that will give him time to see if he really misses you, or what's going to happen. He looks
he's saying that because
really
he's
confused.
A coward, Cindy.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
He is an absolute coward because he's blame-shifting and he's trying to make it so she didn't come back, not that he didn't want her to come back. So he's trying to make it so that she makes the decision so he doesn't have to. He's a coward.
I agree. Yeah.
Right now. He seems, to me,
he's trying to make
like,
you make the hard decision that he doesn't have the balls to make. That's what he's doing to you right now.
Right, and it doesn't.
I'm sorry, I got
to
give tough love whenever I see it, the opportunity.
No, it doesn't, and it doesn't seem like a lack of love here. He's just got issues going on here, and he's scared. And you know, he was also. How long were you supposed to be going to New York for?
It's about 10 weeks.
That's what that. See, he feels like you're abandoning him for those 10 weeks. He can't even cope with that. You're going away for 10 weeks. Okay, and.
Okay.
So, you know, he's like, she's going away for 10 weeks. I don't know if I can handle this. This is what's really going on here.
Okay.
And sometimes it takes us to take a step back from things, but he can't handle you going away for 10 weeks at all.
But he can handle me leaving permanently.
Right. I mean, that's the whole thing. Like, he wants to think like you're abandoning him. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's how he feels.
Okay.
And, you know, there's not much you can do when someone has their fears of abandonment kicking in. You know, he feels like in an ideal world, soulmates come first, children come second. But you have a custody thing here. You have to go do what you have to do. You know, I think it looks like he would want you to.
I can send Nick home and stay here. But I, you know, my parents are there, so I want to go visit them. But part of me wants to, and part of me doesn't. It's hard to leave my life for 2.5 months.
Okay.
So that's hard. Part of me, I want to see
what
my parents,
I would
so
do.
Kind of both.
What I would do if I were you. I mean, quite honestly, because what he's doing right now. My personal opinion. Okay, and Cindy knows otherwise because she's got, you know, she's got a couple up on me as far as some of this stuff goes. But I dated a bully. I dated a bully for 10 years, okay, where, you know, literally the form of mental manipulation that went on in that relationship, like I look back at it now and I'm like, I am so much smarter than this. What the fuck was I thinking, you know? And what I see him doing is I completely agree with Cindy that he's definitely, even though he was married before, that he is, you know, a committed commitment phobe, okay? And it's very, very easy to commit to somebody that you're all not that into. Okay, but you guys have got a long history, and every time he's fallen apart, you have been him there. You've been his go-to every single time. His life has not gone through the years. Okay, you've always been that go-to. So right now, in the back of his mind, he's saying, "Well, fuck. If I pick her, if she's the one, and we take this to the next step, and it falls apart, who do I run to now?" I will have no one. So that's where his fear is coming in, where he's like, shit, do I really want to give up, you know, something else? Or maybe I've just totally screwed this up. And if he makes you make the decision for him, guess what? Now he's the martyr. Now he gets to say, look what she did to me. Okay? So now he gets off scot-free. You take on all of the culpability. He gets to be the martyr. And he still never had to make the hard decision.
Right.
Exactly.
I told him when we talked last weekend, I said, you know, you asked me to marry you 3 times. We were engaged. I've already feel like I married. We went through all this support and stuff to come here. If you want to break up, you have to do it.
Yes, right. Make him do it. Force him to do it. Force his hand. Say, listen, I am not going to break us up for you. If this is what you want, be man enough and tell me. And you kind of find like a really, really good like opportunity to kind of let him know, stop telling other people that you're going through a breakup before you even let me know, because it's kind of something I need to know, you know, and let him know that you're fully aware of his bad behavior, because there's no excuse for it. You know, there's absolutely no excuse for that bad behavior, you know, and it's exactly what it is. He's behaving badly, and he will continue to behave mm-hmm. badly for as long as you tolerate his bad behavior. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So if you don't want to leave your life for 2 months, don't. Go for a couple of weeks and tell him okay. that you're going to come back, you know. But next time he says, mm-hmm. you sure you want to right. come back? Say, are you sure you want me to come back? And make him mm-hmm. give you an answer. You know, but right. don't lean, okay. don't back off on him. Require that he give that he be an adult. Require mm-hmm. that he gives you the answers that you're looking for, okay? And that he means okay. what he says when he says it, okay? Because mm-hmm. here's the thing. If this is a soulmate connection, you do not want to mm-hmm. allow him to take your soulmate connection and drag it down to one of the lower levels of love. You are lucky enough to have that right. connection, and how dare he ruin that?
And my daughter just messaged. She needs to ask him if he wants to break up. Okay, did you point blank yeah. ask him if he wants this to be over with?
Yes.
And he
and
won't give
I
you
don't
a straight
get
answer.
The answer. No.
Well, this is not acceptable. You know what I mean? It's like
yeah.
it's he's giving a lot of mixed messages. You know, he's warm
yeah.
and loving, and then he's doing this and that.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's usually signs of commitment phobia, because commitment phobias are otherwise
yeah.
nice people that do cruel things. Okay? Like,
mm-hmm.
'cause you don't know him to be a cruel person normally, do you?
No.
He seems like he's normally a nice guy is what I could see here. So an otherwise
mm-hmm.
nice person that does cruel things, the only
mm-hmm.
explanation is commitment phobia. And they do this yo-yo thing with us. They bring us close. They push us away.
Mm-hmm.
And they also want us to break up with them, like Nicole was saying, because
right.
then he gets off the hook. Okay? And
right.
That's something that, you know, you're going to have to realize he's playing this game with you. And, you know, but you can't ignore the fact that this has come up when you're going to leave.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you can't, you know, look, you know, he just doesn't want you to leave. He doesn't want, you know, he can't seem to handle it. He's got some abandonment issues. Have you ever noticed that with
mm-hmm.
him before? And they seem to be coming through. Like,
yeah.
he feels like you're abandoning him. Okay. And he may not be, you know, so in touch that a lot of this is his subconscious mind. But, you know,
right.
you know, I would just pretty much stay calm. You're going to be going, you know, you have to be going to New York. If you
mm-hmm.
don't want to stay as long as 10 weeks, you could tell him. But, you
mm-hmm.
know, he is playing some mind games with you.
Mm-hmm.
And this is typical
okay.
commitment phobia. And you got grant me a higher love, and I give you permission to jump forward into the step that's commitment phobia, which I think is
okay,
17.
Thank you.
And
okay.
see if it's not making sense, a little more sense to you.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, what might be going on
mm-hmm.
in him. Did he ever tell you what the marriage fell apart over?
He never loved, basically he blames me. That he loved me, and yeah.
Okay, and again, he's got some traits of an unfixable
yeah.
here. He seems not accountable for his behaviors, manipulative, and judgmental. Do you
uh-huh.
see those traits in him?
Yep.
And those people we might not be able to change.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, just figure out that, you know, he's somewhat manipulative, and commitment phobics always are narcissists, by the way. Okay, you have to have
right.
a level of narcissism to not care how you're hurting other people with your behaviors.
Right.
This is hurtful behavior,
mm-hmm.
the yo-yo mix. And now, when you go back to New York, he might be all lovey-dovey to you and everything until you come back and you pull the crap again, you know. But it's
right.
kind of... if we're so afraid that something's going to end, that's how relationships end up going from soulmate down to toxic, because we're
mm-hmm.
so trying to hold on to it. I wouldn't let this love go down to toxic. I would just, you know, put the cards on the table that, you know, he can't be pushing you away forever, you know, and
right.
this isn't going to work, and that you're going with your son, We're taking a time out. It gives you some time to think and me time to think. Because love can be fixed 2 feet in a relationship or 2 feet out. He won't let you put 2 feet in now because he won't put 2 feet in. So take your two feet out. Go to New York. Do what you got to do. And see what taking 2 feet out does. And see how he responds to you when you're in New York. There's when people get in this like commitment phobia stage, you almost can't see this monster. And just be a little calm. It doesn't mean it's over. I'm not seeing that he really wants it over. He just doesn't know what the hell he wants at all.
Yeah.
And you know, he's blaming you for ending the marriage because he always loved you. Well, he married someone he never loved all that much. How is that your fault?
Right.
He told him to go marry somebody he doesn't love all that much. But again, don't be fooled because he was married that he's not a commitment phobic.
Okay.
You know, and he certainly is. It looks like, you know, right now he doesn't really know what he's doing. And just stay a little bit calm during it. Like, what we have to learn is some patience in life. You know, it is. Things aren't always over. You've been waiting for him for 35 years back and forth. see what happens. Stay calm, you know, as much as you can. Just don't let him be abusive, though, because, you know, some of what he's doing is getting abusive. It's getting to where it's toxic. And, you know, people, when they tell me, I don't know what I'm thinking, I don't know, like, we'll figure it out, okay? What are you afraid of? What are your fears?
Exactly.
You know, things like that. He has no children, correct?
No children.
Because he's never overcome his fear of loving someone who could die on him. Sometimes you need to have kids to overcome that fear. So, he's got a lot of fears going on here. And his father's sick and, you know, all of this. So some of that is he doesn't want to love somebody. Even if you tell him you're going to love him forever, Dawn, you can't guarantee you're not going to die, can you? But soulmates are very telepathic, and we can commune from the other side. But he's got issues surfacing and things. Right now, if you don't start talking and you let him call all the shots, he's your master. You could be this, but not that. Don't call me, I'll call you. You don't want to get into that because soulmates are two equals. And if he's calling all the shots, you're not going to start feeling like you're equals, are you?
Right.
And you want that. Again, it doesn't mean it's over. You know, go, you know, to New York, say, look, we'll take this time out. You see how you feel and I feel. It's funny because he knows you don't want this to end at all. So he has all the upper hand. Sometimes these people got to realize you can push people only so far. We don't fall out of loving a soulmate ever. We fall out of liking them. And when we stop liking them, it's just, we have to learn to love you like you're dead with our heart, soul, mind. But without putting our bodies with you, because you're a highly flawed human being. So, I'm going to give some heads up to people listening. If you're pulling this crap on your mate, there will be a point where they may have enough of it. Okay, they may just wake up and say,
"That is so true.
This is not healthy." And just like the woman we spoke to in the last call, we have more than one soulmate. Right now, this is not soulmate love anymore. It's when you read "Grant Me a Higher Love," you understand the ladder of love. It's gone down to toxic, except you're a nice person shutting the hell up. So it's kind of mediocre here. It is not soulmate. You're not two equals anymore. He's not committed to this relationship. Soulmate means heart, soul, mind, body, committed love, committed to healing. He's not committed to healing. So we have a soulmate contract that says, I'm not going to enable you. And you don't want to enable him. So stay calm. And just address the facts. Okay, I love you, but if you're going to be this way to me, then I'm going to go to New York and we'll take a time out and we'll see how it goes. Okay, but don't think, again, it's over. He just looks to me like he's a very scared person. He's got a lot of fear surfacing. A lot of fears.
And remind him that you're choosing him. This is a choice.
Okay.
Although you do not want this to end, if it does end, you will be just fine.
Okay.
Right. Okay. We're strong. Now, could you do me a favor and call in again in the next few weeks. You can call in as much as you want, because, you know, and tell me when you're reading Grant Me a Higher Love if anything is resonating with you, if it's like ding, 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 the bells are going off. And anyone who just says the words Grant Me a Higher Love, what was channeled to me is you will have a higher love, whether it's with him or someone else. What you're going to do is pray for a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to you and commit to healing. And you want to be the same. If it's this man, so be it. If it's another soulmate, then let the universe figure that out for you.
Yep.
Okay. But keep us posted, please, and we'll be here for you. Okay,
okay.
Dawn? Thank you for calling in. Mm-hmm. Bye.
Yep. Bye-bye.
And the podcast she's talking about is on Astrology Hub, and I posted it on my Facebook page. And it's like, I don't know, 45 minutes, half an hour. I don't remember what it was, but it's a really good a podcast on soulmate love. So we want to try to get this last caller in for the last 5 minutes before Blog Talk cuts us off. So let's see if we can get to her since you've already screened her.
Yes. So we are going to go to Elisa, and she is in Georgia, and she is stuck. She is debilitated, and she is in the middle of some great heartache right now, Cindy. So she's hoping that you can pull some cards for her and let her know if you see any light at the end of this tunnel. So here we go to Elisa. Hello, Elisa. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you?
Okay. So what's happened here with this heartbreak?
Well, it definitely was a soul connection.
Okay. Good. You were listening, so you got that. You had the full connection. Okay.
Absolutely. And I'm in Atlanta. He's in San Diego. We met in 2015. He did come out here twice for 6 weeks each time. I have two children to try to make it work, but it was overwhelming for him. He also does have an issue with drinking alcohol. That was a factor as well. He did sober up for me for 6 months, and that was absolute heaven on earth. But this last time when he came to Atlanta, it was overwhelming for him. So he turned back to alcohol and then flew, bought a ticket back to San Diego without telling me, flew back there, and then raged at me for 3 weeks straight on the phone. And I wanted to get a word in edgewise, and I couldn't. And so I handwrote a letter, and I hand-delivered it to him last April in San Diego, and I read it to him. And we supposedly made love. I say supposedly because 2 hours later, he abandoned me in the hotel room after he accidentally butt-dialed somebody who he had been talking to during that three-week period, and I didn't know about it. So that abandonment traumatized me so severely. I wasn't able to chew food without gagging for 8 weeks.
Wow.
And I finally checked myself into the hospital last May and stayed there for 10 days. I told myself I would never give him the dignity of knowing what he had done to me. But last July, I had to ship the last items to him, and that triggered me, and I went into a state where I ended up calling him and going ballistic, but then we ended up talking all night. And he expressed an interest to get back together with me for the purpose of healing. And I wrote him a 60-page letter, and I said, I am not going to do this unless you know exactly what you put me through, and this is what you put me through, and you have to be committed to healing that with me. And he said, okay. And so we did spend the last year talking through that. I went to therapy. I went to a relationship counselor. He moved in with roommates who drank alcohol. And he, on April 10th, posted an Alex Gray photo of a couple intertwined that he always used to convey his connection to me. And he posted it on his Instagram on April 10th. On April 13th, he messaged me and said he doesn't think he can do this anymore. And then he became unavailable on weekends, and I wanted to be able to express myself. It was an exact repeat of last year. And I expressed myself via email because he was unavailable on the phone. then finally when he became available on the phone, he had such a cocky confidence. I knew he already had somebody else lined up. And I texted him and I said, look, I said, I deserve more dignity than last year. I said, if you are in such a rush to have this conversation with me, I have reason to suspect that you have reason to be in such a rush. And I do not want to be bulldozed over by your exit plan this time. I said, if that's the case, just leave. And his only response was to block me from his Instagram and make his account private.
Wow. So are you beginning to realize he's an extreme narcissist? He's pretty unfixable. He's narcissistic. He's judgmental. He's not accountable for his behaviors, and he has an addiction. And the prognosis of him changing for the better until he gets sober is not there. You know, when you said he got sober for me, he can't get sober for you. He's got to get sober for himself. And I'm not surprised that, you know, he looks to me like he's going to be drinking for some time, you know. He's a manipulator. You know, you got another shot back at it. You guys were soulmates. You know, you don't get that many second chances and third chances as he's gotten. But if you are continuing to talk, you know, this would just get more and more toxic at this point. We have more than one soulmate, and it looks like you're about ready to be granted another one because you're not responsible for the ending of this relationship. His behaviors are. And, you know, if you have to
that's
mourn for the ending of this relationship, mourning for the relationship ending, and you could say that same prayer we told the last woman, pray for a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to you and commit to healing and pray to be the same. If it's this man, so be it. If it's someone else, then let the universe bring that forward as well. And, you know, you're not responsible. You've done all that you could. You got a little bit of closure here. But now the hard part is you have to mourn for the ending of it because the death of a soulmate relationship feels like a death. And if you try to bypass the mourning, it just, you know, by distracting or whatever, it'll just come back to haunt you. So I'm not seeing a lack of love here. I could see he loves you, but he's a very unhealed person, and the alcohol is keeping from healing his issues. And as we said with the last caller, soulmates are under obligation to not enable each other. And we can't be the great crap takers and the enablers where people screw up and we keep cleaning it up. Okay, so, you know, I don't see that it's totally over. It looks to me like you'll hear from him again. But by then, I'm hoping you will have moved on at this point.
Well,
you know,
I do have another conundrum, which is because I was hospitalized last year and there were other events, my entire world blew up last year, which also led me to going to the hospital. My ex-husband was not able to provide me what he owed me in child support, and I didn't have income for a year. I depleted my entire life savings while trying to build a new life for myself, build new businesses. When I was in the hospital, my husband quit his job 2 hours away and moved back to Atlanta, moved into our home, and took over our finances to allow me to be able to start these businesses and rebuild my life. It's just in this current living situation, it feels like such a vacuum that I almost die inside every day.
Okay, well, you know, this is... you know, we're at the end of our show, and if you want to call in the beginning of next week, we'll discuss this part of it, because otherwise they're going to cut us off, and I don't want to be cut off in the middle of this, and you think I, you know, blew you off here. So call in about that, like, let's talk about that, because, you know, there's a lot going on here, and Nicole, don't you think we want to talk to her in the beginning of the show next week? Because this way we'll
absolutely.
Be able to go, would you mind calling in next week again?
Sure, absolutely, yeah.
Because then we'll
I'm going to take the phone number down, Cindy, before we get cut off. I'm going to take the phone number down, so as soon as I see the number, I'll go pick it up next week.
Okay, so you'll call in because they're going to cut us off in about a minute, and we'll yours is like I don't want to give off the top of my head, you know, advice. I want to hear carefully. So you'll call in and we'll pick up on you next week. And thanks, everyone, for